Stop waiting for permission to start your business. Your idea is one step away, and Shopify can make it easy to make it happen. That's what we did at Crypto 101 and use Shopify to sell our book, and the rest is history. The thing I like about Shopify is it takes the scary part out of starting. You're not just sitting there trying to figure out a website, payments, checkout, inventory, all these little things that stop people before they even launch. When I think about building a storefront, the biggest thing is friction. You want someone to land on your page, like what you're selling, and be able to buy without getting stuck. That's where Shopify is huge. Shopify Checkout is built to help more customers finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. The cool part is Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from huge brands that you know, like Mattel and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. So whether you're building the next big brand or launching your first product, the infrastructure is already there. Once that part is handled, you can focus on the real work, building the brand, getting attention, and bringing people to your storefront so the business can grow. That moment when someone actually buys, that's when the idea becomes real. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so go make it one. Start your free trial today at shopify.com/crypto101. That's a free trial at shopify.com/crypto101. August is a good time to clean up the closet a little bit. Get rid of the summer stuff that you didn't use, prepare for your autumn wardrobe, and upgrade the basics that you'll actually reach for every week. That's why I like Quince. They make fewer, better pieces that feel premium, but don't come with the luxury markup. For me, the piece I keep coming back to is the 100% European linen drawstring beach pants with the matching shirt. I love wearing them on beach vacations because they're easy, they're breathable, comfortable, and they look put together without feeling like I'm trying too hard. Throw them on during the day, wear them by the water, or dress up a little bit at night. That's the kind of staple I actually use because it has versatility. And that's really what Quince does well. They specialize in everyday pieces that work harder, like ultra-soft organic cotton tees and premium Magnolia and cashmere sweaters that can go from a casual workday to dinner out. If your basics are starting to feel worn out, Quince makes it easy to upgrade with premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60 with the fit, structure, and quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories and cut out the middleman, so you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. And it's not just clothing. Quince has become a go-to for everything from hotel quality bedding and bath essentials to premium cookware and travel must-haves. Guys, you've been hearing it for so long now, how I tell you, you have to go to quince.com because the website is so fun for all the options that they have. It's a great website to go click around, and the prices can't be beat. Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for app-exclusive offers. Go to quince.com/crypto101. Get free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK too. That's quince.com/crypto101.
All right, all you good, wonderful citizens of Crypt Nation, welcome back to the Out East Summit. Now we are inside East. Obviously, things got a little crazy out there, but look, we are so excited to have Seth Gins, who's the CIO, Chief Investment Officer of Franklin Crypto, which is a subsidiary of Franklin Templeton. Is that the right?
That's right.
Okay, that's the right context. Seth, thank you for joining us here at the
Crypto. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Where do we start? There's so many different ways to go with this. I've been dying to talk to you because, again, you do so many different aspects of investment, from Liquid's on-chain strategies. You know, I'm sure you're trading the ETFs, different yield products. But if we could kind of just start with a quick overview of who you are so that our audience knows, you know, why are you the guy for the job?
For sure. So my background is actually traditional equities. So okay. I was doing public equities investing for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
Got into crypto back in 2012. And my view was always, look, if this becomes an institutional asset class, I'd want to launch a fund.
Nice.
And it took a while for the institutional infrastructure to come together. What's fascinating is I saw that coming together at the end of last decade. And that was when Franklin started to move in crypto as well. So I think you may have had Sandy Call on as well. So Sandy really instrumental in helping to bring Franklin to crypto. Tony Picor as well, very instrumental in helping to bring Franklin to crypto around that time. 2019, I said, you know what? We're starting to see that institutional infrastructure. It's time to launch a fund. Joined Coin Fund, launched our liquid fund there. We built the RIA, so really built one of the first institutional quality managers in the space. And then at the beginning of this year, my partner, Chris Perkins, and I spun out of CoinFund. And we were acquired by Franklin Templeton.
What is being acquired by Franklin Templeton now allow you to do that you couldn't do as a standalone firm? You couldn't do at CoinFund. What are kind of, I don't know, I would call it the perks, right, of working with Franklin?
Well, so Bryce, one of the things that we were really focused on, this is the year in our view when traditional finance and crypto converge.
Sure.
We've been talking about this for a long time, but just at the start of the year, you start to see headlines about New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ.
Yeah.
And the momentum building. And our view was, listen, as this convergence happens, we're going to need a lot of resources, particularly as a liquid fund. But in general, when you think about investing in a space where all of traditional finance is going to be mobilized,
yeah,
that's a lot of competition.
For sure.
So so we said, you know what, it makes a lot of sense to come to a home like Franklin, a traditional finance juggernaut,
yeah,
that has shown a willingness to invest in crypto, whether the markets are strong or the markets are weak. And by the way, you know, the returns are best
when
the markets are down, right?
Sure.
And there's also this interesting asymmetry where when the markets are down, but you can see the fundamentals coming together. You see different partnerships coming together. You look at the announcements that are happening on a weekly basis right now, and it's clear we're right in one of those sweet spots where you have prices still down, although I'll tell you, they're starting to tick up a little bit. And you have fundamentals just off the charts positive.
I mean, there's so much we could talk there. One of the things to maybe discuss, we haven't talked a lot about it at this summit, but we've talked a lot about it in the past, is the Clarity Act.
Yep.
Which it seems like those odds are fluctuating between 30 and 40%.
53% as of now.
53. That's a new high. Okay. So things are moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
I saw, you know, Secretary Scott Bessent said this is on the 1 yard line. Just this morning, they had an announcement that the ethics provision had been settled on. What do you think about, you know, what's going to happen? Clearly, it's a coin flip. So I don't know if you have a strong view, pass or not pass, but what happens if it does pass?
So there are two things that I'll say here. One is I think the White House finding ethics language that it could agree to
was a
very positive development.
Sure.
Now, there's a question of whether we're going to get enough Democrats in line to get it passed. That's separate. But I think the odds of passage did go up materially last night. And that's a really encouraging development for the space. But if we step back, I think there's really a question of, do we need clarity to pass? And the short answer is, it's a really nice to have, but I think we're in an okay position even without it.
Oh, so okay. I like that take. That's a hot take.
But I think what's really important is having it come to a vote. Because if it doesn't come to a vote, I think we're in this unknown area. We're in this limbo.
Yeah.
If it comes to a vote and it passes, amazing, right? We're in the HOV lane, right? We're moving quickly.
Moving back towards all-time highs.
All of us came out here sitting in traffic watching the HOV lane just going by, right?
Yep.
Like if it passes, we're in the fast lane, right? If it doesn't pass, what's great is there's already a clear path forward for a lot of market participants, but they don't want to take that path unless they know that they have to.
Yep.
Because they'd rather take the path with clarity passing. So I think right now, if it's not coming to a vote, we're in a little bit of a holding pattern. It's a little bit of a speed bump.
Yeah.
If it comes to a vote.
Meaning if it gets on the Senate floor.
If it gets on the Senate floor and it comes to a vote.
And we see how the cards lie with everybody.
I think either way, it passes. That's the best case. But even if it doesn't pass, that's a better situation than the one that we're in with it not coming to a vote.
I like that. That's a hot take. And I haven't heard that one yet. And look, so you're doing all sorts of different kinds of investing at Franklin Crypto. Walk us through what products and services y'all offer. I know you from your background at CoinFund as an active manager. I know Franklin has Easy Peasy, which is a multi-asset sort of market cap weighted index. I believe it's passive. I think you guys have other active strategies. Just walk us through the whole gamut and who your clientele are.
Yeah. So
I know that's a big bite to chew there. So
we offer products and strategies that cover the full gamut. I think the areas that are going to be the initial core focus for the new Franklin Crypto are active strategies.
Active strategies.
And the reason why, and again, we have a very big passive business. I'm just saying within Franklin Crypto specifically.
That's what gets you hyped up.
That's really where, so you asked about our clientele. Our clientele is the most sophisticated allocators in the world. That is everything from central banks and sovereign wealth funds to big pensions, endowments, insurance companies, through to high net worth family offices. So that full gamut. And what people are looking for right now, there's a cohort of investors that have been involved with crypto for probably a decade in many cases, oftentimes starting on the venture side, then maybe getting a little bit of direct Bitcoin exposure. But we're starting to see interest from that next cohort, the cohort that said, you know what, I wanted regulatory clarity, right? I wanted an administration that was supportive of the space where I didn't have to think about regulatory risk.
Right.
Instead, I could focus on investment opportunities.
Yeah, the regulatory risk is really hard for a big bank to underwrite.
Really
they could do credit risk. They could do duration risk. Regulatory risk, they don't even want to sniff out.
That's right.
Everybody is talking about AI right now, but the AI that actually matters is the kind that saves you time, helps you make smarter decisions, and takes work off your plate. And if you're running an e-commerce business, shipping is one of those things that can either keep you moving or completely slow you down. That's why I like ShipStation. It's an end-to-end order fulfillment platform built for e-commerce businesses, and its AI is trained on decades of real shipping data from billions of shipments across the world. So instead of juggling a bunch of different tools, ShipStation helps you stay in control. It can alert you when your stock is low, recommend the best carrier selections and rates, automate tasks, and help you save time as you grow. You also get inventory syncing across sales channels, automatic rate shopping, a branded returns portal, and integrations with accounting and CRM software, all in one place. If I were running an e-commerce store, this is exactly the kind of tool I'd want, because once the orders start coming in, you don't want shipping to be the thing that's holding you back. Over 1 million businesses have trusted ShipStation to optimize and scale their shipping. The sooner you switch, the sooner you start saving time and money. Get started with ShipStation today and get 60 days free at ShipStation.com with code crypto. That's ShipStation.com, code crypto. ShipStation.com, code crypto. Taxes and fees apply. I don't know about you, but dinner sneaks up on me all the time. I'll open the fridge and realize I have no protein ready. And at that point, I'm not trying to go to the store, make a last minute grocery run, and gamble on whatever meats or burgers are left at the store. That's why Omaha Steaks is a great freezer move. It's like having a trusted butcher at home and quality protein when you need it the most. Omaha Steaks has earned its reputation with over 100 years. It's the same beef trusted in kitchens across the country, shipped straight to your door. Steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. Your family will think dinner took hours, but it didn't, just minutes. And if you never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect place to start. You get 20 premium steak burgers made from 5 different cuts of steak, 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, and 4 sirloin burgers. Guys, this is the altcoin basket of burgers right here. If me and Brian were on the rundown, we would be divvying these up 50-50 because you know how we like to grill in the summer. So you're not just getting a box of burgers, you're getting different flavor profiles, different textures, and real steakhouse style variety you can throw on the grill or cook up fast during the week. Try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with the promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. You know what slows teams down more than anything? It's not always the headcount budget or even the tools themselves. It's when the way work gets done lives in someone's head and never actually gets documented. Then someone new joins, a new platform gets rolled out, or a teammate leaves and suddenly everybody's doing the same process in a different way. That's exactly the problem today's sponsor, Scribe, was built to solve. Scribe is a workflow AI platform trusted by 94% of the Fortune 500. It captures workflows as they happen and turns them into step-by-step documentation your team can review and share. You just do the process like you normally would, and Scribe builds the guide as you go. capturing every click, step, and screenshot automatically. With our team being remote, I have definitely had moments where I've had to explain the same setup or process more than once to a colleague, and it always feels like something that should have been documented the first time. With Scribe, what could take hours of writing and cleanup can be ready to share in under a minute. Scribe also automatically redacts sensitive information like names, emails, and account numbers from screenshots. Admins can enforce that across the team so nothing slips through the cracks. Plus, anyone following the process can get real-time on-screen guidance showing exactly where to click inside the actual tool. Scribe doesn't just document workflows. It uses AI to suggest ways to improve them, helping you spot redundant steps and opportunities to simplify or automate. To see what Scribe could look like for your org, head to scribe.how/crypto101 and mention Crypto101 for your first month of Scribe Capture free on select plans. That's Scribe, scribe.how/crypto101.
Like you're saying, coin toss right now on Clarity. That's really hard for an institution to bring to investment committee, right? Well, there's a coin toss. And by the way, I can say as much as I want. I think we're in the fast lane. If it passes, I think we're still moving forward. If it doesn't pass, that's different from being a big institution and making your first big bet on crypto.
Yeah.
Right now, going into that regulatory vet.
Totally.
So we want to have strategies that align with clients who are saying, we're looking for our entry to the space. We're looking for a way to start getting engaged, to come up the learning curve, to understand what's happening here. And one of the things that we really like to focus on is crypto is a key enabling technology, just like AI.
Yes.
And it's actually quite complementary to AI. And I think you have a lot of chief investment officers. You have a lot of chief information officers. They're saying, we understand how AI comes into our portfolio mix, or we understand how AI comes into our tech stack. Crypto, we have a sense that it dovetails with that. We have a sense that it's important, but we're not sure exactly how.
Yeah.
So what we'd like to do is be that guide, be that well-informed crypto native aid in coming on that journey, helping them figure out how to invest in crypto, how it complements their AI exposure, and how to implement crypto as well within their businesses. So
I love it.
And that's across active liquid, that's across venture, that's across a bunch of different areas where Franklin has expertise.
Yeah.
And then we're still going to be just as focused on all of the other areas. We have great tokenization technology.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
We have the ETFs, as you noted.
Right.
It's all part of a comprehensive product suite.
That's incredible. And again, this conversation could splinter in so many different directions. I think for a lot of people that are watching, that's hyper relevant is, all right, Bryce, Seth, you know, we see the crypto complex. We already own Bitcoin. We already own Ethereum, maybe a sprinkle of Solana. Whether we own it in the ETF through a staked product, whether we own it, okay. But why is there a million other cryptocurrencies, and how does the smart money think about allocating across that universe?
Yeah.
Are you looking at certain factors like cash flows or revenues, and what does that look like in crypto? Are you looking at, you know, how much TVL or growth rates? Like, how do you do it?
So it's funny, as we talked about earlier, I grew up on the fundamental equity side.
Sure.
And fundamental equities, you're modeling out where you think fundamentals are going to go. You think about how you're going to approach valuation. That's typically looking at comparables.
Yep.
You think about what your valuation methodology is going to be for that particular sector. So if it's high growth, maybe it's a revenue multiple. Mm. If it is slightly lower growth than that, maybe it's next 12-month PE. Right? All on future expectations of earnings. If balance sheet is in play, it's EV to EBITDA.
Okay.
Right? So there are different ways. If it's an asset play, right? Like unconventional shale, oftentimes you looked at it on a price to net asset value.
Oh.
Right? So lots of different ways of valuing in the traditional market, very similar in crypto. So in crypto, again, what we like to see is strong fundamentals. We like to see revenue generation, strong revenue growth, that value captured in the token.
Yeah.
And then we can model out where we think that value is going to go, what we think that revenue ramp is going to look like,
yeah,
what multiple that should trade at, and that gives us a price target. Now, do we only invest in things that have revenue and value capture in the token? No, because if
we were in some pre-revenue.
That's right. So if you were investing in Tesla in 2012, it was a great time to buy Tesla.
But they were the least profitable they'd
ever
been.
That's right. And by the way, for the next 9 years, you had it sometimes 30% of the float short, right?
Yeah, right.
Amazon, the same thing, right?
Sure.
When they were just a retail business, it was a fantastic time to buy them, but they weren't profitable.
Right.
And it wasn't clear that they were going to be profitable, right? Yeah. Until they started AWS and then the ad platform. And so Netflix, another example. So you have to have an open mind around what can be, what the future could look like.
Yeah.
And then apply that fundamental framework based on now. What's interesting about crypto is there's kind of an added dimension, which is, are we going to get regulatory clarity? Are founders going to be able to allow the token to capture value through buybacks? Or, and now we're seeing an administration that's letting founders do that.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see more and more founders. I tell you right now, I think there are more large teams, large market cap teams, that are thinking about changes to their tokenomics that could accrue more value than I've ever seen before.
That's really encouraging. It's almost like making crypto more equity-like in
That's
a
right.
sense. And having,
which was scary in the past.
Right, because
right?
if you did that, you get Gary Gensler
That's
looking
right.
at you, knocking on the door.
100%.
And so it's good that like at the end of the day, you're having a new asset class with real value,
That's
right? Whereas not just the meme coins, and those will still exist. Those will be tradable opportunities. That'll be alpha during the right period that you could look at funding rates or skew on the options market. And you could still trade those, but for your long-term core investment portfolio, having things that compound their cash flow. So,
and by the way, their businesses in the traditional equities world that go from wildly profitable to wildly unprofitable like every 6 to 12 months.
I was going to say the hyperscalers is a great example. They were the most large free cash flowing machines.
Yeah.
And now they're about to be negative free cash flow.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the
And they're still enterprise value,
yeah.
right? So and some of those businesses, you could say not the hyperscalers, but oftentimes they're businesses where it really is about something way out in the future. And it almost is a meme stock today. It's trading on the narrative of what can be. If you get regulatory clarity, if you get all of these for their sector. So what we're seeing in crypto is it rhymes with what we've seen in the traditional equities role.
What do you make of, you know, Ethereum's kind of the largest market cap asset outside of Bitcoin. There's a lot of different smart contract applications built on it, but it's struggled. I think I saw a chart. It's at the same exact price as it was 5 years ago. You know, some big ups, some big downs. But it seems like they're trying to also break into a little bit more value capture. What's the skinny on Ethereum right now?
I mean, look, I think we started out by talking about how 26 is very clearly the year where traditional finance and crypto are converging.
For sure.
Traditional finance loves businesses that have been around for a long time.
Right.
That have longevity.
What do they call that? Lindy effect.
Lindy effect, and where you can be sure that you're not going to put your business there and then it's going to have downtime.
Right.
Right. So the L1s that have been around for a while, whether it's ETH, whether it's Sol, like they hold a special place in the enter in the institutionalization of the space because they have that Lindy, because they have that longevity. And I think ETH is the poster child for that.
It's not going away.
It's not going away.
It's got the RWAs, the stable coins. It's all there.
It's the place where you see the largest number of stable coins. RWAs, as you noted. And by the way, fees have come down.
Fees have come down.
And fees have not only...
I remember paying $1,000 for a transaction at the peak of the 2021
And it's not only that cyclicality, though, but they've come down with network upgrades.
Right.
Right? So you have a chain now that's more performant, that should be lower cost, and that has a decade plus of longevity.
Yeah.
I think that's a really powerful combo when you think about traditional finance coming in right now to crypto.
Of the investable liquid universe right now, where should listeners be spending most of their time, do you think? And again, not to do single name call outs, but is there a theme that your firm is particularly, or you personally are particularly interested in?
So I think the areas where we're seeing, there are two buckets that I would call out. One is some thematic verticals.
Okay.
So anything that's market infrastructure.
Okay.
Right. So that could be borrow lend. That could be a DEX.
Yep.
That could be an L1 that is being used for these convergence applications.
A lot just came to mind right there.
So that's one area. Payments is another, right? We have some payment chains. There's some new ones coming out. They're plays that are adjacent to that. AI and crypto, another area where there are a lot of interesting opportunities. So I would put the verticals with real adoption,
yep,
in one bucket. And then I'd say the other is kind of vertical agnostic, but where you're seeing good top line growth and where you're seeing value capture in the token.
I love it.
And I think that's just going to expand out. And by the way, that's...
I'm praying it does.
And that's like, think of that as like almost DPIN, right? Decentralized physical infrastructure, but opening that aperture a lot more, right? And, you know, my partners have heard me talk about this a lot. I think we're not more than a year or two away from having analysts that cover crypto and healthcare, crypto and AI, crypto and consumer, just like an equity fund has a consumer analyst and a healthcare analyst, right?
Yeah.
So I think that specialization is going to become important, because once you mature the infrastructure, then it becomes about investing in the application layer.
Yeah.
And when you're investing in the application layer, that's about understanding everything that's happening in that vertical. It's not just about crypto.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. And look, we got time for one more question.
Yeah.
And I just want to have it open-ended in terms of, basically, this is a multi-part question, but where's the market going? What could we expect from Franklin Crypto in particular over the course of the next year? And in the same breath, are we going to be in for another year of a bear market?
So,
or a builder's market for you?
A builder's market. I have a reputation as being very glass half full.
Hey, that's great. I'm the same way.
And I could not be more positive right now. I look at what's happening on the fundamental front. That disconnect that we talked about between what's happening in fundamentals and what's happening in prices. I wrote an essay back in 2020 when I left traditional finance, and I said it was like pushing a balloon underwater.
It's got
to
pop up.
And it was ready to pop up. And that happened within 6 months of writing that essay. I think we're in the exact same moment right now.
Well,
so I think we have a confluence of positives on the macro front, top-down crypto, bottom-up crypto, all the fundamental things that we've been talking about. And I think that's going to come together really quickly. Maybe we have clarity and that gives us an even bigger tailwind. But I think that's coming together really nicely. And whether it's today, a month from now, whether it's year end, whether it's the first week of October,
yeah,
so it fits the 4-year cycle.
That would
who
be
knows?
Perfect. Picture perfect.
Who knows? But I think we're lining up for a really nice period of time. And what I'd like to see, what I hope we see, is crypto moves from being an industry where it's big ups and big downs, and yes, there's this secular regression along the way. I hope we start to shift to just
a
slower,
returns.
Steadier overall beta growth.
Yeah.
But then you have amazing opportunities from a fundamental pick perspective.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're looking out for on the fundamental side.
I think that totally makes sense, because this way up, on the way up, we had, you know, a smaller amplitude. On the way down, we've had a smaller amplitude, but a little elongated, right?
And you still had the big names that have gone up 100, 200, 300% in there.
For sure. Yeah, you still had the opportunities for alpha.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Any new products that you could tell us that we should expect? I don't want compliance to come knocking on our door right now, but you know, what's next for Franklin Crypto?
I would just say keep your eye out for what we do on the new product development front. Again, I think we we're recognizing this convergence between traditional finance and crypto. This is the mantra Beautiful. That I've been bringing up.
Yep.
I think you'll see a lot at that intersection. And then I'd say our tokenization technology is fantastic. We were one of the first movers in the market. And look, I'm a believer in markets everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that dovetails really well with AI everywhere.
Yeah.
So tokenization is a really important element of being able to manage businesses and have democratization of ownership and all of these different ideas that start to be implemented when you have markets everywhere and broad-based tokenization. So
love it.
Very high level answer, but I think there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff to come over the next few quarters.
Gave us the breadcrumbs that we so desperately needed. Seth Gins.
Love it.
CIO of Franklin Crypto. Everybody watching, we hope you enjoyed. Stay tuned. We've got to get some more guests for you here pretty soon. Thank you, Seth.
Thanks, Brett.